This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello and welcome along to a new week here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, the tennis betting podcast and YouTube show in association with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. I'm Nigel Seeley, your host, and joining me is our senior ATP Tour handicapper. It is Sean Calvert to break down what is a busy week, not the best of weeks, but it is a very busy week on the ATP Tour with three 250 events all across the world, really. So, Sean, how are you, sir?
I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, not too bad. A bit chilly. My liking, it's Easter today. I like Easter to be a good sort of 18 degrees. This is about 8. Can't be doing with this. Went for an Easter egg hunt with Lagan this morning. I had to keep coming back indoors. So,
I'm surprised you booked out for the Easter eggs.
Well, there's
I'm
no Easter eggs.
Still there, Easter there was out there looking for them.
There was no Easter eggs actually in them. They're those plastic eggs that you can, they're empty. So you put stuff in them. Like sometimes it's a bit of chocolate. Sometimes it's like a little thing to do. I didn't do it. Natasha did it, but
no,
she.
I didn't think it'd be your thing.
It wasn't. One of them was like, do your 8 times table and do your 7 times table and stuff like that. And he.
What kind of fun Easter egg is that for the boys?
Yeah, but 90% of them had chocolate in. So you know, if you give them chocolate, and there's about 15 of them, if you give them chocolates in every one, it'd be sick. So you got to balance it out with a bit of something else.
I honestly thought you wouldn't put any Easter eggs out there. You'd be out there hunting all day and all night for Easter eggs.
He's wise. Can't find any. He's wise to my ways. He wouldn't do it if I did it. His mum did it. She does it every year. She still thinks he's about 4. So she kind of, you know, she likes to do these sort of cute things with him, even though he spends all his time now just playing Fortnite and yelling at his mates on his headphones. That's kind of all he does. The cuteness is gone. That's not coming back.
It doesn't get much better, mate. I've just spent 7 days with a teenager in Miami. It's a bit hectic. It's a bit messy. I must admit. But it was a good trip. Yeah. Miami had a great time. Miami was brilliant. The weather was okay in the end. The hotel was superb. Bit expensive.
But not cheap there, is it? Oh, not cheap in Indian Wells either.
No. And obviously, you're buying for the boy as well. It doesn't realize. So it's the damage was done on the wallet. So we're under pressure to get some winners here, Sean. So
well, you are. I didn't go to Miami.
I am. Yeah. I need. And I bet Manchester United last night in the Premier League, and they went 1-0 up in the 94th minute and conceded in the 96th to 1-1 draw. So wasn't the best of days for me. Anyway, before we move on to this week, we've got three tournaments this week, and we move surfaces. We go to the clay court season starts this week, so it's quite interesting on that. Very interestingly, to some of these odds here, I've looked at them and I think they're all wrong. Some of them, I think there's a lot of value here when the change of the services. We'll talk about that before in a minute. But before we do so, it's the final of Miami this evening. It's 8 o'clock English time, 3 p.m. local time over in Miami. It's Dimitrov against Jannik Sinner. Jannik Sinner was absolutely unbelievably good against Medvedev in the last round. He's a very heavy favourite with Bet Rivers, -420. Dimitrov is +325. Dimitrov's been brilient this week. The total 22.5 and the spread 3.5. Is there any way that Jannik Sinner can be opposed in this final?
Well, the fact that we backed Dimitrov the tournament before in Indian Wells, and he bombed out sort of reasonably early on, I think Medvedev.
And we backed Sinner here last year.
But this year, Sinner's got the extra day, hasn't he? If I remember rightly, last year it wasn't quite this longer tournament, was it? Wasn't it back to back last year when he had to play the semis in the final?
Yeah, but he came through an epic semi final, didn't he?
I don't recall whether it was an extra day or not last year, but physically he wasn't up to it. Of course, last year when we backed him, now we're on. I didn't back Dimitrov because his record in Miami was dreadful. I know the conditions have changed. I know it's quicker now in Miami than it was before, of course, but it's arguably too slow for him in the past, but his record was dreadful, and it felt like a humidity thing wasn't really his thing. But he's played brilliant, hasn't he? Especially against Alcaraz. If he plays like that again, you know, he's got every chance against Sinner. But as I said in the semi before the semi final, I'm not a massive fan of him in big matches against big players. He doesn't win them very often. You would expect Sinner to win, but if you're having a bet on it, I haven't seen the lines to be honest. But the overs would would be interesting. Bearing in mind, Dimitrov's held serve 97% of the time or something like that in Miami so far this tournament. So it obviously leads me towards the overs. If he carries on playing the way he's been playing, then he should give Sinner a decent match.
Yeah, over 22.5 games is currently +102 with BetRivers. The outsider under is -127. And Sinner to actually win, it's -420. So a heavy favourite. Dimitrov is +325. Head across to the BetRivers website. They have 46 different markets available on that final tonight. And the final is already sort of having ramifications on the tournament odds for the majors coming up. You know, Sinner's vying for favouritism now. He could overtake Alcaraz as number two in the world if he wins this evening. So there's a lot of ramifications in this match for the future betting. And the build-up now is really in essence now to the French Open, which starts in a couple of months from now. But we've got three clay tour events now. Before we go on to the first one, which we're going to talk about, is this Estoril over in Portugal. This is an important time now, isn't it, Sean? Because a lot of players, we haven't seen much from, they now come out of the clay court season. We see a lot of players in the hard court, and the books sort of price them up on their hard court form when they're not really that great on the clay court. So I find these couple of weeks, the early couple of weeks, especially in Monaco as well, quite a profitable period of the season for me.
It can be, yeah. Because if you look at Novak Djokovic, for example, he always does, not always, but mostly, mainly, often he does poorly in Monte Carlo, doesn't he? He's lost as heavy, very heavy odds on favourite there 4 or 5 times. I think Dan Evans beat him there, didn't he? Vesely's beat him there. Davidovich, I think, beat him there off the top of my head. So, yeah, you know, the big players coming onto clay, it's not always a given that they're going to produce their best clay form. It's not easy changing surfaces, particularly from Miami, which was a quick hard court. Now you're going to what will be in Estoril, certainly very slow conditions. So, yeah, it's tough. You do sometimes get some decent spots, and that's why two of these three tournaments tend to produce much more underdog winners than the average.
Yep, let's start off the tournament in Estoril. I'm heading to Portugal on Wednesday morning. I'm only going there, fly visit. I'm going there Wednesday and coming back on Friday. I'm
going to the tennis.
Sorry?
You got your rain jacket.
Well, we're going to come to the weather forecast at the moment. I haven't been good with it. I've usually been quite lucky with the weather.
It's normally me, isn't it?
This year's actually changed a little bit. But the day I'm going, the Wednesday, doesn't look too bad. I mean, it's going to be bad. Obviously, it's flooding in Lisbon all week. And, you know, last week was really bad as well. Planes were being cancelled and all sides of things.
Yeah.
But it does look a little bit brighter when I'm there. But obviously, for tomorrow, Monday, when the tournament starts, it is pretty bad. Let's talk about the conditions, Sean. We mentioned there that there has been a lot of heavy rain. It's going to be slow. It's going to look at the previous winners here: Ruud, Baez, Ramelos, Vinolas, João Sousa. You know that this is going to be turgid, typical sort of slow European hard court. It's sort of clay court tennis here.
Yeah, it's pretty much standard for a clay event in terms of the data. It averages 75% holds and 67% first serve points won. Tiebreak matches average 35%. Slight trend to the under 22.5 games, 52% in the last 5 years. Not many underdog winners here. This is a tournament of the three. This is perhaps the one I'll be slightly the less interested in, depending on what comes up. There's only 30% of underdog winners have won here. But the key thing to think about as far as Estoril's concerned is the weather. You know, as you said, it's been absolutely torrential in Lisbon the last week or so. Even today, even now, I think it's supposed to be another couple of inches of rain today. And the week ahead looks unsettled, doesn't it? According to my forecast, rain expected Tuesday, Friday. Highs of only about 17, 18 degrees, which, you know, isn't that warm. Especially a lot of these matches are played in the evening as well in Estoril. I've been there a couple of times. This is the last time it's going to be on tour, by the way. So enjoy it. Well, the last time for the foreseeable future. It may come back in the future, but it's not on the calendar for next year. So evening matches, cold. Pretty slow in the evening, particularly. But
you're not
selling this
to me, Sean. You're not selling.
Well, I can only tell you what's on the weather forecast. Yeah. They may be wrong. The problem with this is they've moved it in the calendar. It used to be, I think it used to be more towards the end of April when it was a bit warmer. But in the position that it's in now, it's not that warm unless you get a lucky week and it is warm. But I think the key takeaway is slow conditions. I'll quickly do the trends. Only 4 top seeds have won in Portugal since 2008, so not a good place for number one seeds. 4 of the last 7 champions have been priced between 14-1 and 20-1, and all of the last 7 runners-up were priced between 14-1 and 40-1. As far as qualifiers are concerned, only Pablo Cuevas in 2019 has made the final from the qualifying draw since 2001. So there's your conditions and your trends.
Yep, so it's going to be wet. You take the rain jacket, as Sean said.
Well,
there,
damp.
But the Wednesday, when I'm going is the best day. It's going to be sun Wednesday. Thursday's going to be okay. But we're actually at the tennis on Thursday. Wednesday, we're landing. So tennis Thursday, and you can follow all my antics over in Portugal. And I'm going with...
Where are you staying, by the way? Sorry, mate.
We're staying at a hotel on the beach. I can't remember.
In Estoril, Cascais?
Cascais.
Yeah, that's Cascais is really nice. That's the nice place.
Yeah, we're staying in a beach hotel there. And I'm going with Simon Holden. Me and Simon Holden again.
So, are you?
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
So you can follow the antics from Lord Oakville and myself on our Instagram.
Is that because there's a big casino there, by any chance?
No, it's because he loves the area. He plays golf there quite regularly. And I said I was going, and he said, I'll come with you.
Why not?
Keep me company.
Well, there is a big casino, so...
We won't be going in there.
No?
I don't like casinos.
No, I don't, but some people do. No, Simon strikes me as the kind of guy that's been in a casino once or twice in his life.
He's been thrown out of a casino once or twice. I know he's not for winning too much, that's for sure. But anyway, you can follow our antics on Instagram at Because We Win and on our Twitter page as well. And the Instagram page is lots of in-running plays and all this kind of new exclusive content there. So make sure you follow that at Because We Win on Instagram. Now let's have a look at the betting to win in Estoril. Let's look at the draw first. Casper Ruud, defending champion, is the number one seed. He's in the top half of the draw. He will be seeded to play Gael Monfils. How it works is the top four in the draw have buys through to round two. So only four players have got buys through to the last 16. So it's a 32-man draw, but the top four seeds are already through to the last 16. So Ruud is in the last 16. He will play Monfils if the seedings go in order in the quarterfinals. Davidovich Fokina is the number four seed. He's seeded through to the last 16. In the quarterfinals, he will play Kecmanovic if it goes to seedings. Artur Fies, he's number five seed. He will play Mazzetti, who has a buy through, the number three seed. Kopfer is number eight, and he will play Hercash, who has a buy through as well. Let's look at the betting. Kasper Ruud is the favourite, plus 350. Hercash is plus 500, 5-1. Davidovich Fokina is 8-1. Artur Fies, 8-1, which is a price that I think that's far too short, that one. Gael Monfils is 8-1. Mazzetti interests me. He's 9-1. Obviously, has he had the baby yet?
New baby bounce. Yeah,
he got the baby back. He played well last week. It was a takeout from me last week. Kecmanovic, 13. Borges, 14. Altmaier, 20. Fuchsovic, 20. Kopfer, 20. And a little bit further down the list, there's a couple of players that I saw there and I thought they've got to be too big. Dominic Thiem, 40-1. In this field like this, a 250 event, I know he's had problems, but this is
he's had a lot of problems. He's talking about retiring now.
40-1 just may be a little bit too big for me. I might have to pull the trigger on that. And the other one is João Sousa, a former winner here, Portuguese player, 100-1.
We're going to talk about him in a minute, aren't we?
100-1 with Bet Rivers. I think that's an interesting price, and we'll come on to him in a minute. What's your takeout on the draw here, Sean? It's quite difficult to judge. First clay court, not really much form to go on. You've got to take the hard court form into the clay. Really, now, what do you like? What's your fade for you?
I think the bottom half is way easier than the top half. You know, in the top half, you've got Casper Ruud, Correa, Van der Zandschulp, Fuchsovic, Monfils, Davidovich Fokina, team if he decides to play a bit better than he has done for the last year or so. Altmaier, Martinez, Bautista Agut, and Kecmanovic. That is a tricky top half for a 250 on clay. And on the bottom half, you've got Mazzetti, Hercash, Fies, not a lot else really for me. So I'm taking one here in the bottom half. I really like one that I think the prices are wrong, as you just alluded to there. Do you want me to talk about that now? Or?
I'm thinking you're going for the number three seed, Lorenzo Mazzetti.
I am going for the number three seed.
I couldn't agree more with you. I think he was, to me, the player. I mean, I spoke to you after Miami. I thought that he would be a player that was a big price to win the French Open. At 150. I cannot understand how Lorenzo Mazzetti is 9-1 to win this tournament and Artur Fies is 8-1 to win the tournament.
It makes no sense for a number of reasons. I mean, Fies was dreadful on the golden swing on the clay. Okay, let's forget that. Even forgetting that, his stats on clay last 12 months, nowhere near those of Mazzetti. I can go through this now. Mazzetti, last 12 months at main level on clay, service points won and return points won, total of 106. And a service hold and break total of 112. Now, those are better than anybody in this field, including Casper Ruud, who's on 105 and 110. He's obviously in good spirits, as you said. He seemed to be a lot perkier, didn't he, in Miami, potentially the new baby bounce, or he just happens to be coincidental that he's playing well. The slow conditions should suit him. He's beaten Hercash, who's the obvious danger. on clay. I know there was a retirement, but he was winning that match comfortably when Hirkacz retired. He's also beat Hirkacz on indoor hard. The only two times Hirkacz has beaten Musetti were both on grass. So I'm struggling to see why he's 9-1. I mean, I don't know. So if that 9-1 is still available by the time this comes out, then my suggestion would be to take it, because statistically he's, you know, he should be the number one seed, the number one in the market. He should head the market, really, in terms of statistics, you know, ahead of Casper Ruud.
I
think, and he's an easier half. Yeah, I mean,
he's got much easier. If he plays Fies in the quarterfinals here, I thought he'd probably be about 4-7, like 1.57, something like that, 1.6 to beat him.
Yeah, he should be.
I can't understand how Fies is a better price. I mean, I know Fies has probably got a little bit of public support and a lot of people like him, but I think the reason I'm sitting at 9-1 is the wrong price in this draw.
I think it's wrong. When I first saw it, I thought, can't be right, can it? But
yeah,
if it is, it is. I'm happy to take those odds, really.
Would you take it each way, or would you take him to win it?
I'm just taking him to win it.
Yeah.
Currently
9-1 with Bet Rivers.
Yeah, he's got, as I said, he's got better stats than Ruud, if Ruud makes it to the final. But Ruud's got to beat a lot of good players to get to the final. Mm. I'm never really that sold on Casper Ruud. He's obviously wins most of his matches on solidity. The forehand, the backhand is not great. It's just 99% cross court. You kind of know what's going on with that backhand. Musetti is the classier player. Ruud gets the better results because he's more consistent. But, you know, on these odds and on the stats, I'm happy to take Lorenzo Musetti here.
And he wasn't a happy bunny, was he, in Miami? And he's not going to be a happy bunny with this weather and conditions here. If he's not happy,
well,
in
that
Miami,
should
he's not
him, shouldn't
happy
it?
In Leicester Hill.
Norwegian, he should be all right with those sort of temperatures.
Yeah, couldn't agree more with Sean there. Lorenzo Musetti, he's a friend of the show. He's cashed for us at big prices a couple of seasons back.
Yeah,
as well.
You had him in Hamburg, didn't you?
Yeah,
he's 80-1, was it?
80-1, yeah. He's 9-1 this week. Not the 80-1, but he's the value play here on the stats. He could be possibly the favourite for the tournament. Argument to make that he should be the favourite, but he's 9-1 in the bottom half of the draw. He's happy with his game. He's just had a baby. The baby bounce factor is evident in his form from Miami. And Lorenzo Musetti is a very confident pick for myself and Sean here at 9-1. I think that's a really, really, really good play. I have given a little bit of a shout out for Joao Sousa as well at 100-1. I think that we're going to come on to his match in a minute.
Yeah,
but I think
we'll talk about it.
At 100-1 with Bet Rivers, that's worth a little bit of pizza money, because
be a story that wouldn't it? Last Estoril, Sousa.
Last Estoril, the Portuguese guys won it. Previous former winner here
in his last ever tournament.
And I think that 100-1, that's well worth a little bit of interest as well. So that'd be a little lean from me there. I'll be betting both of those, but I'll be betting Musetti, obviously, a lot bigger. Before we move on to the next one, we've got two matches we want to speak about here in Estoril. And this one, the first one here, again, both of these, I was surprised by the odds. Bosic van der Sandtrip is up against Federico Coria, the Argentinian, who is an exceptional clay court player. He's played 20 matches already on clay this year, and most of them obviously in South America. But this is Bosic van der Sandtrip's first clay court match of the year. If you look at his record, it's not that great, but I'm surprised that money's coming for Bosic van der Sandtrip, the Dutchman. He's -112, the same price as Coria to win the match on the money line. The spread, obviously, you can 1.5, you can change that if you want to play on the spread, but really it's a money line bet here, -112 each of two. And the total is pitched at 22.5 with over -106 and under -121. I never know which way you're going to go on these bets, Sean, but I was surprised to see Bosic van der Sandtrip a joint favourite and money coming to him against someone who's to me, on the stats and his career, he's played almost 1,000 clay court matches. And this is going to be slow. It's going to be like the clay courts in South America. I thought career here at -112 was a decent bet.
He's played 1,000 matches. I didn't know that.
1,000 matches on clay.
That is a lot, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's only 32 as well. It's not like he's 38 or something. We talked about the slow conditions. That's got a favourite. The clay grinder, Coria, if you've never seen him play, it's just out and out clay grinding, isn't it? He hasn't got any huge weapons. He's just extremely consistent, makes you play, knows all the angles, knows a clay court better than anybody on the tour, pretty much. Last 12 months at main level on clay, Coria, service points one and return points, one total of 101, and a service hold and break total of 101. Van der Zandtrip's down at 100, and service points one and return points, one total of 100, and a hold break total of 95. So Coria, slight advantage on the stats. If you look at the way these two play, who would you say is more likely to hold serve more often?
You would think Bosic.
You would think Bosic, but only by 1% more than Coria in the last 12 months on clay. So the serve, for a big guy, he doesn't, his serve isn't particularly potent. He's only held serve 1% more often than Correa. And Van der Zandschulp, technically, he's looked all over the place recently, hasn't he? That match against Korda was probably the low light for him. But the backhand just looks like it's going to break down too often for me. And once you move on to the clay, away from the hard, where you can get away with it a little bit on hard courts, if you've got big serve, big forehand, you can get away with not having a fabulous backhand a lot of the time. But you aren't going to get away with it on a very, very slow, damp clay court against Correa. You know, he's going to mop up any errors and grind it out. You feel like if Anders Antsup's going to win this, he's going to have to show a ton more resolve than he normally does. A lot of the time, he just looks like he couldn't care less. Like, if he's going to beat Correa here in these conditions, you would think he's going to have to play well and be extremely determined, the latter of which is not his strong point. So I was surprised that the odds are as close as they are. I'm happy to take Correa here as an official play.
Yeah, Courier, -112. You might want to hold on because the money is coming for Van der Zandschulp, but you might get a little bit bigger for Courier here. But -112 is the current price with BetRivers. It's one of the best prices around at the moment, but so the market is definitely leaning towards Van der Zandschulp, which does surprise me as well. I was very surprised to see -112, the pair, in that match. Another match that surprised me, we've touched on him in the build-up in this match. This 7 a.m. start, by the way, on Monday. These matches are Eastern time, so they're a nice early start. But remember, the weather conditions are great, so check the weather forecast out, and there's about 28 different markets available with BetRivers on each one of those matches. The next match, Artur Fis up against João Sousa. We've mentioned João Sousa. We've said it's his last ever tournament. He's a former winner here. He's a Portuguese star. He's going to be packed out. The crowd's watching him here. One thing I did find out, it's very hard to get a ticket here compared to others. It was very popular.
Because it's the last one, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very popular to get a ticket. So it's going to be, and he'll have a big support here, João Sousa. He's up against Artur Fis. We've said about Fis, we're not really convinced by him, but the odds here again are just staggeringly strong for Fis, the number 5 seed. -420 for the young Frenchman, +310 for Sousa. 4.5 is the spread, -117 for Fis, Sousa -109, and the total is 21.5 with over -110, under -114. I was quite tempted by Sousa on the money line. I'm very tempted by him +4.5 at -109. Fis has played 4 matches on the clay this year and only won one. And he's far from impressive in his form so far. Got beaten the first round in Miami. Got to the third round of Indian Wells. But the clay court form, lots to be desired there.
Yeah, it was poor. On the golden swing, just to talk about his stats, his service points won and return points won total was 90. And his service hold and break total was 83. I know it was only 4 matches, but they were 4 pretty poor matches. The one he won was against our guys, Saboth Wild, who had an absolutely shocking day and then went on to play great on the hard courts. But so really poor clay swing from a golden swing, sorry, from Artur Fis. It just feels like these circumstances are going to be difficult for Artur Fis. This is, for those that don't know, this is João Sousa's final tournament. Normally when these players come into these tournaments, when it's their last tournament, they normally start coming out with all the same sort of platitudes, you know, oh, I've had a great career, it's been a privilege, all this sort of stuff. Not so from Sousa. He said, the objective is to be at maximum strength for the Estoril Open. I go there to win matches, not just to say goodbye. He won a couple of the matches at the Girona Challenger last week and then withdrew because of a back issue, which doesn't worry me that much because he's obviously, it's just a precaution, isn't it, for this. He doesn't want to aggravate anything and miss this, which is his final tournament. And very often, you know, when players are retiring, it's the last tournament, they often get good results, don't they? Gilles Simon, I remember a couple of years ago, had a great run at Paris indoors, didn't he? Bercy beat Andy Murray and a couple of others in a great run. They tend to just produce their best. It's their last ever time. It tends to be their, they do very well. That, you know, it inspires them, if you like. From Artur Fis's point of view, it's a tough situation, isn't it? Young guy, what's he, 19 years of age? He's going to have every single person, bar about one or two, I think, in that crowd against him all day. I can't imagine he's encountered that before. He's not in particularly great form. Surely Sousa is likely to make this at least competitive. So my lean here is Sousa +1.5 sets. That was a +106 chance of BetRivers when I looked earlier.
Yep, still +106, 28 different markets. It goes the same way as me, same thing as me. The spread is 4.5 plus -109. So I quite like Sousa on the money line, +310. And I think it goes back to my lean for him to win the tournament because stranger things have happened. And he's 100-1. Mm-hmm. If he wins this game, he's 25-1.
He's had some luck here before. I remember the year he won it. He had an awful lot of luck. A couple of people produced flat out chokes against him, and he got through, and he ended up winning the tournament. It's obviously a career highlight for him. Now, it's a shame this tournament's going, actually, because it's like Portugal's only main level tournament, isn't it? And countries like France have got about five or six tournaments, and Portugal none. Doesn't seem quite right to me, but there you go.
Won't see in 2 years from now. They'll all be in Saudi Arabia, so don't worry about that. They won't be in Europe anymore. So
quite possibly,
might as well make the most of going to these tournaments when we got the opportunity.
Yeah.
So rather than that, so there you have it. Two official plays from Sean. Two fairly strong plays as well. Courier on the money line at -112. Sales are +1.5 sets. +106?
Yeah.
+106 is a lovely play. Lean for me for Sales to actually win the match on the money line at +310. Some really good reasoning why we expect a good tournament in Estoril from Sales in his last ever ATP Tour event in his home tournament. That's Estoril wrapped up. As I said, I'll be over there on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. You'll be able to follow the adventures on our social accounts at Because We Win on our Instagram and Twitter account. Okay, let's move across. We're going back to America, Houston, a clay tournament in Houston. When you look at the former winners here, this is not going to be as slow as the conditions in Estoril. This is American clay, which is nowhere near like the stuff that we have in Europe. TFO won it in 2023, Opelka won it in 2022, Steve Johnson won it back-to-back in 2017 and 18, and Garin won it in 2019. John Isner is a former winner here on the clay court event. So we know really, by looking at those winners, this isn't going to be as slow as the other courts. Sean, what are the conditions like? The weather, I expect to be quite warm and hot and humid. What have we got going on over in Houston?
Yeah, they play on American fast dry clay, which is different to the European clay. It's laid on top of a hard surface. So some players find it slippery. Some players will complain that it's quite slow. But the reason that a lot of big servers have gone well here in years gone by, they used to use the quick Wilson US Open balls here. They changed it last year to the Dunlop ATP balls, which are the same ones they used in Miami, which are the same ones they use a lot of the tournaments. It's the official ball of the tour, although you don't have to use it in your tournaments. And it was slower last year. But that being said, the weather was appalling there last year. Do you remember there were several days when it was just a washout, wasn't it? So that had a bearing on the conditions as well. It does average over a long period of time, much higher holds and service points won. 80% holds and 72% first serve points won. 37% of the matches feature a tiebreak on average. Slight tendency to the under, actually. 22.5 games, under 22.5 games, cash 51% of the time, so no major trend there. But underdog win is 38%. But the weather, I think the main problem with the weather this week, it's not going to be rain. I think it's going to be wind. It looks very, very windy there for the first sort of 2-3 days. Temperature-wise, between 23 and 30, so that's absolutely fine. Some chance of showers, but pretty windy.
Wind expects the conditions for the players. Houston will have a problem for some of these with these windy conditions, but let's have a look at the draw. Exactly the same as the draw over in Estoril. It's a 32-man draw, the top four seeds through to the last 16, and those top four seeds are Shelton, Echeverry in the top half, and the bottom half, TFO and Cerundolo. So Shelton is scheduled to play Christopher Eubanks. If we go to the seedings, Echeverry will play Max Purcell. And in the bottom half, Jordan Thompson will play TFO. Giron will play Cerundolo. Let's have a look at some odds here. Ben Shelton is 3-1 to win the tournament. Having a bit of a slump in his career, sort of crucial point. He promises a lot. Is he gonna deliver? I'm not so sure.
A bit up and down, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not having the greatest run. TFO in shocking form, but he's the defending champion here. He's 4-1. Echeverry 7. Cerundolo was my. I thought he played well. I watched his match in Miami against Khachanov. I thought he had chances to win that match. Khachanov's extra sort of the court speed probably got him through rather than than anything else, but I thought Cerundolo played really well. 8-1. Shapovalov is 8-1. Shows a little bit of signs of encouragement of his lapse of form in recent weeks. Marcus Giron is 11-1. Thompson 20-1. Nakashima 23. Kokkinakis 23. Eubanks 25. Mickelson 33. And Viriles at 40-1. They're the leading runners and riders. What do you make of this draw, Sean?
I'm not wild on this. This is the one of the three that I'm not that keen on. I mean, the two that stand out for me, top half Echeverry, bottom half Cerundolo, the proven clay court performers. Shelton, I don't know. At that price on clay, not sure about that at all, to be honest. He's a bit too up and down, isn't he? when it's clicking, it's great, but it's not always clicking. And when it doesn't click, it's not that great. Too many errors. You think the clay would kind of find him out. Just looking at the draw here, Etcheverry is the obvious choice. We had him last year, didn't we? Each way got to the final, right about 25 to 1, something like that. Lost in a couple of tiebreaks.
7 to 1 now. It's a bit different now.
Lost in a couple of tiebreaks to an inspired Francis Tiafoe in the final last year. He's the standout for me because there's not a lot else in there. A lot of fast court players, you know, Mickelson, Purcell, Mo, Eubanks, Hijikata. All these guys would be more comfortable on a quicker surface. If Etcheverry's fit, which is the problem, he had that hamstring injury, didn't he, on the golden swing and lost to Murray in Miami. If he's fit, I think Etcheverry's the obvious choice. Similarly, in the bottom half, TFO, I don't see how you can back him given the form that he's shown in the last sort of 4, 5, 6 months. I know he has a lot of support here, and that's what got him the title last year. He was really cheered on by a lot of family and friends. It may inspire him again, you know, who knows, but on form, not for me. Again, you've got a lot of quicker court players in here. Wolf, Shapovalov, Giron, Jordan Thompson, Kokkinakis, Kudler. All these guys would prefer quicker surfaces. So, I mean, Cerundolo is the one for me that stands out on his clay ability. So the two Argentines for me, but I don't really see any massive value in either of them.
Yeah, 7 to 1 Etcheverry, 8 to 1 Cerundolo. I lean towards Cerundolo. I thought he played well. I think he'll come out of that tournament in Miami with some confidence, and I think he'll go there. I think the court speed is crucial here, isn't it? I mean, if it's slower than we expect, then you've got to fancy the Argentinians. If it's quicker, as it's been in recent years, and the weather speeds it up a little bit, then you've got to fancy the big servers. So, I mean, it's an interesting one. It's a watching brief for me, but those two, the Argentinians, Etcheverry and Cerundolo, are our leans on the tournament winner market over in Houston. We do have a match we want to speak about, and that is an All-American affair. It's an American and Canadian. Apologies for Denis Shapovalov fans. Denis Shapovalov, the Canadian, is up against Marcus Giron. Shapovalov is a heavy favourite here, -162. Giron is +130. A 2.5 is the spread, -104 for Shapovalov, giving up the 2.5, and Giron plus 2.5 is -122. The total is 22.5 on the games, with over -109, under -117. They have never met before, but Shapovalov played quite well in Miami. He beat Tsitsipas. You know, we had Tsitsipas to win that match, and he won. Shapovalov to win it. He won fairly. He won very easy. Very poor performance from Tsitsipas, but then he couldn't back it up against Arnaldi. And Giron is coming in probably one of his worst slumps for a few months now. He's lost his last three matches in the first round at Indian Wells and Miami. He also got beat by Casper Ruud in Los Cabos. Interesting one this, because if we price this match up, probably what, I don't know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we'd probably be Giron -162. But the market has given Shapovalov some of this confidence behind him in the market on his, what we've seen at Miami.
Yeah, I don't know why. I really don't. I mean, when I first saw these odds, it was slight favourite Shapovalov. Don't see how this price can be correct. Last 12 months at main level on clay, Giron, 13 matches, 54% win rate, and a 103 service points won and return points won total, and 110 whole break total. So very good clay season last year. Prior to that, he wasn't up to much on clay, but now he is, or certainly a hell of a lot better. Shapovalov, since the start of 2022, 97 service points won and return points won total, and a 95 service hold and break total. Didn't play much on clay last year. Giron, since the start of 2022, service points won and return points won total of 98 and a whole break total of 99. So even on going back from 2022 to now, historical stats when Giron wasn't up to much on clay, still better. As I said, clay exposes the frailties in your technique, and Shapovalov certainly got some of those. But he can mask it on a hard court like he did against Tsitsipas. That's why we backed him. The conditions, quick conditions, that lefty forehand into the suspect backhand of Tsitsipas, and that one worked out perfectly, didn't it? But still very up and down.
I think the win was more to do with the fact that Tsitsipas was absolutely terrible. I mean, he was
just, well, he was, but
interesting. I mean,
we've been saying that for a while. We've backed against him several times, haven't we?
Yeah, but then I think the markets obviously like looked into that win, thinking Shapovalov's back, and not looking into the fact that Tsitsipas was diabolical. And then, you know, the following match, he lost to Kinsale and Aldi.
He lost to Arnaldi, who himself was easily beaten in the following round by Mahat. So let's have a look at the 2024 main level stats then. Again, it's gear on ahead. Service points won and return points won, total of 103. Shapovalov, 101. Giron's won 7 of his last 11 matches at home in the USA. Obviously plays better here than in other parts of the world. Does Giron have a problem against left-handers? Not really. He's beaten Adrian Mannarino twice this season. I know he's a very different kind of left-hander to Shapovalov. He also took Draper to 5 sets at the Australian Open as well, Giron. So no discernible problem against left-handers. He's also got more experience of playing here, Giron. He's played Houston 3 times before. Shapovalov's never played here, and this is a different kind of clay. It's kind of unique conditions. This is the only tournament of the year where they play on this surface, at main level anyway. Some of the challenges use a similar-ish kind of makeup, but it's not one that the players will be familiar with. So there's nothing to like about this Shapovalov price. As soon as it started moving out and out and out, I don't get it. I know he's played better, Chapo, in the last week or so, but that's a very short-term thinking. He's not suddenly going to become great on clay, where, as I've said, his stats aren't particularly good anyway. They're not as good as Giron. So value for me on Giron here, plus 130.
Giron plus 130. Official play from Sean. So a bumper day on the official plays. 2 in Estoril, 1 in Houston. And that's a nice value pick. And the market is just still coming towards Shapovalov. So we may even get a bigger price than that when the action starts. And the action starts tomorrow at 12 p.m. local time over in Houston. Check the BetRivers website, check the order of play. We do not know the order of play yet, but it'll be around about 12 p.m. local time. Shapovalov against Giron. It might not even be played tomorrow. It could be played on Tuesday, but we don't know the order of play. So just check that out on the website nearer the time. But Shapovalov, vulnerable, minus 162, we believe is the wrong price. The final tournament this week on a bumper clay week, 3 250 events. Is a tournament that you were at last year. We were going to have a GoFund page for you, Sean, when we saw you with the snakes and the scorpions and all those different things. We thought you were banging trouble in Marrakesh.
It's a fun place. I like it. I'd like to go again, actually.
I thought you would have gone. Well, I thought you would have gone this week.
I can't really go anywhere during half term because Lagan's off school and I did it last year.
He'll be still looking for Easter eggs. Well, you've gone for 3 days.
He'll be sat on Fortnite for the entire fortnight.
That's what he'll be doing.
Where were we? I forgot.
We're in Marrakesh, and I mean, what the weather must be nice there, surely.
It wasn't when I went. You remember it rained?
Yeah, oh yeah.
In the middle of the desert, of course. The weather. Let's just scroll down to that. It's fine. Getting warmer as the week goes on. Starting at a pretty comfortable 23 degrees, but getting up to 32 or 34 by finals day. So last year, I'm sure you remember that I was posting videos and stuff. They set the courts on fire, didn't they? Trying to dry them out. I don't know what that was all about. That didn't work. So no rain expected there, but the conditions, there's 460 meters of altitude in Marrakesh, but statistically it doesn't seem any quicker than Estoril, really. 74% hold, 69% first serve points won. That's about the same as Estoril. 34% tiebreak matches. That's 1% fewer than Estoril. Quite a sizable trend to the unders, though. Under 22.5 games cashed 58% of the time in the 6 editions that this tournament's been held in Marrakesh. It used to be held in Casablanca, but in Marrakesh, a trend to the unders, which is a surprise at an altitude tournament, and a big 39% of underdog winners. So it's a tournament where I always like to look for the value.
And look at the previous winners here. There's some shock winners of this tournament as well. 2023, Kabash Bainer. 2022, David Goffin. 2019, Benoit Paire. Andujar won it in 2018, the veteran clay quarter, and Borna Koric won it in 2017. This time around, again,
I was going to say some good trends, if you want me to go through them.
Yeah, sure, please.
No top seed has made the final of this tournament since 2010 when it was played in Casablanca. So no top seeds made the final in Marrakesh. The last 4 winners were all priced between 24-1 and 125-1. And the last 3 finalists were all priced between 33-1 and 50-1, and no qualifier has ever passed the quarter final. So some pretty strong trends. It's a tournament I like to take a bit of a punt in.
Mm-hmm. And look at these outright markets. I think there's a definitely some people at the top end of the market that should never be at the top of the market. I'm really surprised by this out at this future market. We'll come on to that in a second. As I said there, the tournament is exactly the same, mirrors the same two tournaments in Houston and in Estoril. It's a 32-man tournament. The top four seeds have got buys through to the last 16. And if it was going to the seedings, it'd be Laszlo Gerry up against Kubilo, Dan Evans up against Diaz Acosta, Chevchenko against Sonego, Navone against Offner. And the four players who were seeded will through to the last 16, or got the buy through to the last 16, are Gerry, Evans, Sonego, and Offner. Not really the sort of names that you want to be trusting at short prices. Let's look at the odds. Lorenzo Sonego is the favourite to win his tournament at 4-1. I don't get that. The next second favourite, Matteo Berrettini at 6-1. I mean, on clay, I would be a fade anyway. And you know, he barely competed in the game, and he's injury prone. 6-1. Wawrinka, he's older than me and you. He's 6-1. He's the third favourite. Then he gets into some interesting ones. Diaz Acosta 11, Kubilo 11, Chevchenko 11, Gerry 11, Kabeesh Bainer looking to defend the title 14-1, Kotov 14-1, Van Ash 17, Vukic 17, Dan Evans 17, Navarro 20, Moutet 24. And I was staggered by the fact that Sebastian Offner was 24-1 to win. It's the number two seed. I was really, really shocked by that price. As usual, I don't know where we're going with this draw, but
I'm taking a punt.
I think Offner 24-1 is the wrong price, but I'm interested in where you're going to probably be going further down the list.
I'm going French here. You know, historically the French obviously have a strong presence in this part of the world. A lot of French pretty much everybody speaks French. So the French players do tend to feel very, very comfortable here. And the two that look like value to me, both in the bottom half of the, sorry, not the both in the bottom half of the draw, are they? I've lost them. Yes, they are. Sorry, they're both in the bottom half of the draw. The first one is last year's finalist, Alexandre Muller, 50-1. Very surprised at that, considering how well he played here last year. Beat Massetti, almost won the title. He was a tiebreaker away from winning the title, Muller. Service points won and return points won total of 103 here last year, and a service hold and break total of 107. You know, you've got a guy that enjoys these conditions. He will be loving coming back here. 50-1, that's too big for me. When you've got people like Wawrinka, what, 6, 7, 8-1?
Yeah. Even the tournament favourite, Sonego, 4-1. I mean,
Sonego, he might win it, but 4-1. I wouldn't back Sonego at those sort of prices. Sonego, for me, is much better at a bigger price when he's got no pressure on him. Coming here as a market leader, that's not a good situation for me for Lorenzo Sonego. And the other one is Moutet, 25-1, another French player. Coming back to form now after a wrist injury, really kind of wrecked his last season and a half, really. Seems like he can hit his backhand better now after that, getting better from that wrist problem. Made the semifinals as a qualifier at altitude in Santiago a month or so ago, beating Nicolas Jarry. So good form at this sort of altitude. He fits the bill at the right sort of odds for a Marrakesh winner or finalist, as does Muller. I'm much happier taking a punt at some bigger prices here. It tends to serve you well in Marrakesh. So those two for me.
Yeah, Muller 50-1. If he wins, he plays Offner in the second round, and Moutet will play Sonego. So they got matches against number four seed and number two seed. If they knock them out, the tournament opens up and they're both in that bottom half of the draw. And so it's well worth taking the big prices. Alexandre Muller is 50-1 and Moutet is currently available at 24-1 with BetRivers. Head across to the BetRivers website. Remember, if you want to bet on any of these matches on these three tournaments, you can bet live and watch live with BetRivers. Bet the game. Bet having a bet on the game and watch the match from the comfort of your own home on your tablet, your mobile device, or your laptop. Okay, we have two matches for Marrakesh as well. We're going to start with the first one. You pretty much know where you're going to go with that. Vukic up against Muller, -110 the pair. Shocked by that price. I can't believe that the player in Muller, who got to the final here last year, is available -110 to beat Vukic, who's not going to be suited by the conditions here at all. I really, really think that's a cracking wager there. Vukic's record on clay is pretty abysmal, 91-64 in his career. And Muller, pretty exceptional, 234 wins to 146 defeats. So, and they're pick 'em, -114 Muller. It's got to be the bet initial.
Yep. He should be suited much more by the conditions than Vukic, as you've said in the final last year. We already talked about that. much more comfortable on clay generally against Vukic, who rarely plays on clay, certainly at this level. Vukic has only actually played two main level matches on clay in his entire career and lost them both. One of them was to Dennis Kudla, another guy who doesn't play particularly well on clay, in Houston last year. And the other one was against Pedro Martinez at Roland Garros a few years ago. We know Vukic's strength, what they are, his big serve and his big forehand. The backhand is little more than a push. He doesn't really do anything with it at all. And as I've already said, the clay does expose any technical weaknesses you've got, and he certainly has technical weaknesses on that backhand. Simply Muller for me. It's just as the more accomplished clay court player in general, and as the guy who's very much proven in these conditions.
Cracking price, that -110 currently available. Bet Rivers, head across to the website. Take that -110 before it goes, because that certainly will disappear, I think. I think that's a really good price. The next match we're going to talk about is Matteo Berrettini. Come on the comeback from injuries. You know, had terrific injuries. Played that epic match against Andy Murray, didn't he? And just fell short. He's -125 against Shevchenko at even money on the year's form. How Shevchenko can be the underdog here, I'm amazed. But Shevchenko matches, I'm a bit wary of them. I'm not quite sure about Shevchenko. I think when the money's against him, he doesn't really perform. I'm just got my question marks about him. And this the total here is 23.5, a high total, the highest of all the matches we've spoken about. +120 for the overs, -163 for the unders. If you were looking at the stats, you were looking at the what we've seen this year, you would be definitely making a case for Shevchenko evens, but I'm slightly wary about his matches.
Yeah, it is a worry. This one's just going to be a lean for that reason, really. I mean, Berrettini doesn't look anywhere near his full match fitness. You know, he played in, was it the Phoenix Challenger, wasn't it? He got to the final there, lost to Borges. Then he played Murray, won only 46% of his second serves against Murray. I know he was unwell that day. He almost keeled over, didn't he, Berrettini? He almost collapsed in the middle of the match. But I'm just not sure he's fit enough or in the right form. He hasn't played enough matches in this latest comeback of his. You know, before that Phoenix tournament, he not played since last August. So he can't be fully fit. You know, it's impossible to be fully fit, having played only a week or so. Shevchenko beat him at that Phoenix Challenger, not this time, but last time, 12 months ago. He was a +448 underdog that day, Shevchenko. Beat him in three sets. Shevchenko's very, very comfortable on clay. He's had good results at Challenger level. At main level, he's taken sets last season, last clay swing. He took sets off Jannik Sinner and Daniil Medvedev. He beat Sebastian Baez, beat Jiří Lehecka. So he's certainly got the ability, the level, on this surface, has Shevchenko. Stamina would be a worry for me. I didn't like his outright price. What was he, about 10 to 1 on the outright? Something like that.
Shevchenko? Yeah, 11 to 1.
Yeah, I mean, stamina is still a big worry for me with him. Certainly on clay, in the heat that this is going to be as well. Berrettini does have the better stats on clay overall, but his data is from quite a while ago.
Mm.
And you've got to question whether he's at that level these days after all of his injuries. I would say not right now. He may get back to that level, but I don't think he's there at the minute. So Shevchenko for me is an underdog here.
Yep. Surprise, the underdog tag has been given to Shevchenko here. Even money, but that isn't an official pick. That is a lean for Sean. So there it is. It's a bumper edition of Game Bet Match. Three tournaments. We have outright picks in Estoril. We both agree very, very strongly on Lorenzo Musetti at 9-1. Head across the Bet Rivers. I'd be amazed if that price lasts today. Over in the men's clay over in Houston, two leans for Echeverry and a lean for Cerundolo. No official play there. In Marrakesh, we've got Alexandre Muller at 50-1. Last year's beaten finalist. And Corentin Moutet. We've gone French in Marrakesh. And on the matches in Estoril, we've gone for Courier at -112 to beat Botic van der Sandschrip on the money line. Sosa, +1.5 sets against Artur Fils in his farewell tournement at +106.
That was a lean, that one.
That's a lean in Estoril. Yeah. Official pick is Giron at +130 in Houston to beat Shapovalov. And our final official pick is Muller at -110 to make light work of Vukic at -110. Over in Marrakesh. Sean, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
We'll speak to you again on Tuesday. We're back on Tuesday with Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. And we're also back on Wednesday with Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. I'll be over in Estoril at the hotel then, hopefully with some sun. I doubt it very much, hopefully. And remember, there's three ways to follow all the content here on Betting Weekly. You can download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. Please keep that downloads going. We're doing very high on the podcast charts. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios. Lots of great content on there. The soccer is really livening up across Europe. It's the Champions League quarterfinals coming up this month. April is going to be a bumper month of tennis as well. Not only on the men's, we also have Rory Jawani on the women's draw as well. Some big tournaments for coming up there. And also finally on our socials, on Twitter and Instagram, you can follow all our content at Because We Win. Our Instagram account now has live in-play picks from the soccer handicappers and myself on the tennis. If I'm at the venue, I'll be giving a pick live from the match in play. Also, I had Saturday and Sunday soccer parlays and loads of exclusive at tournament coverage on our Instagram account as well. That's it. It's been a long one. Have a good day, Sean. Happy Easter to everyone following. Good luck with your bets, and we'll speak to you all again on Tuesday. Take care.